Probably a good idea to pray. Lord, thanks for another day, the chance to do something for somebody else. Thanks for your love for us. Thanks for always walking with us. Thanks for never, ever letting us go. We're mindful of so many things. Help. We need you every day, Lord. Help. Comfort, guide, lead. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So we're looking at the book of Acts. Continued. Remember a few weeks ago? Seems like months ago. We started at the beginning of Acts. You know, the Acts is that book that no one reads. We guys kind of skip over that. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, Romans. Acts is great because at the beginning, Jesus does what? He says, hey, now you're going to go out and carry the message to the rest of the world about how much you're loved by God. Right? There's this guy, Paul, who has a road to Damascus event in his life. Totally transforms his life. Paul was the guy that used to persecute Christians. Round them up, you know, make sure they went to prison, etc., because they're thinking and believing the wrong way, you know, all those people who wag their fingers at us, right? So Paul now is no longer persecuting Christians. He's the guy that's, oh my goodness, look at how much Jesus has done for us. This is the fulfillment of this is the deal. So Paul, in 17th chapter, he and his sidekick Silas have just come from prison. If you look at chapter 16, actually it's a good little verse you can read when you get home. Don't do it when you're driving the car, or do a listening maybe. But Paul and Silas get thrown in prison because of what they believed. And then there's this big earthquake and the jailer thinks about ending his life and Paul says, hey, we're still all here. Paul says to the jailer, Jesus loves you. He's the fulfillment of the kingdom. And the jailer's alive. So they leave their prison in Philippi and they make the trek and they go to this town called Thessalonica. You know, you better pay attention. This is going to be on the final, I'm just saying. They go to Thessalonica. Cool name, cool town. And when he's there, Paul shows up and as his normal custom, it says he debates or argues with the people in the synagogue. Paul's this really wise, learned scholar. Knew the law of God back and forth. And during this conversation, it says, what did Pastor Freeman say? Three different Sabbaths. And the people are getting a little uptight and they don't like it. But it also said what? Verse 3, he says, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And if you're a devout follower of the Hebrew Scriptures, I'm told that this is heresy, right? Some of the folks come to believe. It says, verse 4, some devout Greeks, and how about this for a sentence? Not a few of the leading women. Could you say that differently? Is that a grammar thing, or am I just not paying attention? Cool thing, women get mentioned here, and they also get mentioned at the end when they're in Berea. Is there a message for us? Absolutely. Women don't get mentioned in the Bible very much. The book was written 2,000 years ago. Who did Jesus appear to first at the resurrection? The women. Hello. We're in this together. Created in the image and likeness of God. All of us. Right? Paul and Silas are accused of what? Turning the world upside down. But before that, the religious leaders get really freaked out and uptight. And it says, I love this little phrase in verse 5. They what? With the help of some ruffians. Were you ever a ruffian, Dan? Yeah. Who's been a ruffian ever in their life? Don't raise your hands. Some of us have been arrested, right? It's overrated. The ruffians come along and they cause a riot. And oh my goodness. They're turning the world upside down. They're changing the status quo. Paul is offending the religious leaders because he claims, saying that their Messiah, which means the promised king, is actually Jesus who suffered and died. So he's offending the religious people. He also offends the Greeks and the Romans because who was their God? Caesar. Greeks and Romans thought government is the answer to all my problems today. So for Paul to say Jesus is Lord, oh, he's in a heap of trouble, right? Jesus threatens their power. Not through power over them, but by power under them. Let me explain. I think it was Pastor Gilmore explained this. He doesn't muscle his way in through war or violence or diplomacy or politics, but through what? Suffering. Jesus flips the world's pattern upside down by coming under those who hate him. The non-Christians, the mob, trust in the power. And since they can't find Paul, they do what? They go to that guy's Jason's house, because Jason and a few others, they stayed there. And so this Jason gets hauled in front of the court, and the court, there you go on bail now. And so he goes, who's this Jason character? He's mentioned twice. Another Christian who stood up for what they believed. They trust in Caesar. Paul trusts in the Messiah. We believe in Jesus. We believe in Christ. We follow him. If, when we trust in economic stability or in political victories or in personal safety or any aspect of the kingdom of God that is of this world, we exert power over others. Jesus, though, he's the upside-down kingdom guy, right? They accuse them of turning the world upside down. Did anyone ever go see that play Hamilton? Show of hands, did you? Neither did I. But I understand there's a song in there, turning the world upside down. The world turned upside down. I won't sing it because, you know, I don't want your ears to bleed. They're good. Here's the questions. Ready? We're more than halfway done with the sermon, by the way. You're doing great. The day's going to come when our world turns upside down. Maybe it already has for you. I don't know. One minute, everything's going smoothly. The next minute, it's a train wreck. The phone rings. It's your sister-in-law. And she says, there's been a horrible accident. Your brother died. The routine physical. You get the unexpected six-letter swear word. It's cancer. Or your spouse says, I don't want to be married to you anymore. I asked the guys at the Monday morning breakfast, when did their world turn upside down? Give me an example in your life. And they said, 9/11, the pandemic, Ukraine, the riots, when my spouse died. We all could list events, people in our lives that have turned the world upside down. The question we can ask ourselves today is, where do you go when the world turns upside down? Where do you go? I like some of the things that are hidden in here. You want to hide something from a Christian, where do you put it? In the Bible. I like some of the things that are hidden in here. Like when Jesus says in the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, he says, I have told you this so that you may have peace. In this world you will have persecution, but take courage, I have conquered the world. Or from Romans, that same character, Paul, he wrote a letter to the church in Rome in the 8th chapter, and he says what? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or pandemic or cancer or untimely death or whatever else you want to add to that list? And then Paul continues and says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm certain that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation is going to separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Or how about that one from 2 Corinthians? So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this ready, slight, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal glory. Almost done. So, question. Tell me what it is about human beings. What is it about us? That when we hear a phrase, my world turned upside down, we think negative. What is that about? Can it be that it might be something good when the world turns upside down? Like, thank God the sermon's finally over? Or the good stuff, like a prayer is answered, maybe in an unexpected way. Or when you meet the person of your dreams. Or how about the birth of a child? Or a grandchild? Or when you get the news your cancer is in remission. Or you're sober and you're in recovery. Or how about when the message of God's love for us in Christ Jesus becomes real to us? When we finally come to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead for us too? That'll not turn just you upside down, but it makes all the difference in this world and the next. Do you know how wonderful it is to see you? Thanks especially for bringing your kids. That's fabulous. We get to close the service by singing loudly. So would you please stand and sing loudly? God bless you. It's great to be with you.